thank you for your presence in our midst. We enter your word and we ask that that presence go with us. For we will not leave this place if you will not go with us. As we enter your word, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand, fully conscious of our limitations to deliver as well as to receive your infinite wisdom that is hidden and compressed inside the written word. That, Lord, you will help us to bring it out by this unction, fresh unction and anointing from you. Lord, and I ask that you will put the same unction and anointing that you put upon me as I speak, also upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me. Those who are here physically, those who will hear me remotely, electronically. So that this word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own. In particular, so that our wills will become more humble, our minds will be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, our emotions will be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in great measure to follow these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful, Father, as I deliver this word. Indeed, that I will do it with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed under the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful and precious name we pray. And all those who agreed with me receiving every blessing I mentioned in their own individual life agreed and said, amen. Today I have a prophetic message that is just in line with everything that God is saying and doing for us, particularly in the light of what I brought out during the announcement about the fast and its prophetic significance and the timing, which we didn't do deliberately. We, like Ruth, happed. The Bible says Ruth went out and her hap was to fall on the field of Boaz. She didn't know who Boaz was, but it was God who unconsciously led her. She was not consciously led. Just like mommy didn't know it was the Feast of Purim. She was just led by the Spirit. But it was now, it so happened that she fell on the field of Boaz. And it so happened that this fast has fallen in this time of the Feast of Purim, which happens to be the Feast of Vengeance, because it's the feast in which the Jews were able to take vengeance on their enemies, personified by Haman, that had tried to kill them. So God now turned the thing around using Esther and Mordecai, and by that he changed the government in Persia, so that the government was now conducive for the blessing of the people of God. Turn with me to Esther chapter 10. Esther. Good. And I'm just going to read verse 3. You know, I could talk about Mordecai, but what I just want to bring out is this. As a consequence of Esther and Mordecai's fasting and praying, and the subsequent Feast of Purim, which was a feast of vengeance, like I've explained, this is what happened. For Mordecai the Jew, I did not hear you, was next unto King Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, watch this, seeking the wealth of his people, and speaking peace to all his seed. And this is the destiny of Nigeria. My message is entitled Zion in Nigeria. Now, turn with me in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 18. The Bible says, this is not what I'm going to read in, but the Bible says that there is a time for everything under the sun. God doesn't just do things haphazardly. The more I walk with God by the mercy and the grace of God, the more I see that God is a God of order. The more I see that God is a God of strategy. The more I see that this God we're dealing with, nothing takes him by surprise. I see from the Bible says that he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. The scripture tells us that Jesus Christ was slain as a lamb from the foundation of the world. God plans everything ahead of time. Nothing takes him by surprise, because he doesn't just do things. He sits down, he plans. He's a God of wisdom, he's a God of order. And then when he has planned it all out, he knows where he's going to start, he knows where he's going to end. Then he kicks the thing into motion, and at each point in time he interferes. I don't like the word interfere, but that's the one that's coming to my heart. He participates, if I like that word. Interfere is also good. He interjects at each point in history so that what he has planned comes to pass, and no human agent can stop it. This is the story of Nigeria, and I want to speak this afternoon briefly about Zion in Nigeria. Isaiah chapter 18, and we're going to look at verse 1, verse 2, and then we will jump to verse 7, and then from there we'll go to Zephaniah, and then from there we'll go to Song of Solomon. Now let's start with Isaiah. I'm going to read in the New King James Version, because the Old King James uses this which the rivers have spoiled, which is not really, that's Old English. So I'm going to use the New King James, close enough to the King James, but with the correct modern English. It says, "Woe to the land shadowed with buzzing wings, which is Ethiopia, beyond the rivers of Ethiopia." That's very important. This is sub-Saharan Africa. You must understand that at the time the Bible was written, the continents of the earth had not yet been fully discovered. They didn't even know America existed. America was only discovered by Columbus in 1492. The Bible, you know, the Old Testament was written thousands, particularly Isaiah here, was written thousands of years. The only thing that was known on the earth then was the Middle East, you know, where Israel was, Iraq was where they said the Garden of Eden was, you know, then, you know, that whole area, Arabia, North Africa, which was just Egypt, you know, Greece, you know, a little bit of Europe, and that was it. They didn't know so many other places. They didn't know North America, they didn't know South America. You know, so you can understand that the prophet, writing by revelation of the Holy Spirit, he was able to describe it in the words he could use at that time. There is a, you know, because he was seeing by the Spirit into the future. So he said there's going to be a land that is beyond. At that time, they did not even know what was beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. They just knew that there was land beyond. Many of this, at this time in history, you know, there was very little interaction with, you know, the tribes and all of us who were down, you know, to the south of the Sahara, you know, where we call Nigeria now, and, you know, Mauritania and Mali, and then going down to Tanzania before we now get to South Africa. Even places like South Africa hadn't even been discovered. It was there, but nobody knew about them. So you must understand, this is one of the things that makes you know that the Bible was written by God. These men didn't know all of these things. And so he says, which sends ambassadors by sea, even the vessels of reed on the waters, go swift messengers to a nation, to tall and smooth of skin, to a people terrible from their beginning onward, a nation, watch this, powerful, treading down whose land the rivers divide. Here's how we know it is Nigeria. All other nations in Africa beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, you know, South Sahara, have rivers. Congo has rivers, Ghana has rivers, but none of them have rivers that divide the land. Only Nigeria. I find it's awesome to me, God's wonderful wisdom. There was nothing called Nigeria before. There was nothing called Nigeria. All we had was, you know, West Africa, you know, and then, you know, the missionaries and all the British Empire came and all of that. And in 1914, Lord Lugard, with his, first of all, he was his mistress, later on he became his wife, you know, came up with this idea to join what was then known as the Northern and Southern Protectorates into this amalgamation that is known today as Nigeria. Little did they know that they were fulfilling prophetic destiny. Ah! Turn to your neighbor and say, God rules in the affairs of men. That was the word I was looking for, not interfere. He rules. He knew God was watching everything. And as, watch this, by 1914, Pentecost had already happened. Nigeria had to come into existence in order to get the Pentecostal anointing to fulfill its prophetic destiny. Nothing is by accident. So God, ruling in the affairs of men, is flowing. Hallelujah. Remember the night the king could not sleep? How many remember? It's the book of Esther. See, when God wants to do something, he knows what to do. He will use unbelievers. He will use heathen. Lord Lugard could not sleep. The wife could not sleep. No, I don't mean they couldn't sleep, but God began to move on them. It was his wife. She wasn't his wife at the time. Can you imagine a girlfriend? It was his mistress. They were discussing in the government house, I think in Lagos somewhere, because he was, Lord Lugard at that time, was the governor general. Under, this was the time of, I think, King George, you know, the British king at that time, and Nigeria was a British colony. First of all, there was a colony of Lagos. Then later on, it expanded to the Southern Protectorate. Then later on, it expanded to the Northern Protectorate. So they were discussing, you know, well, you know, nice British people over a cup of tea, probably. You know, well, we need to amalgamate the Northern and Southern Protectorates. Darling, what do we call it? Oh, I don't know. Hey, come to think of it, not even Nigeria, not even Niger. Because there was this company that was called I've forgotten the name now, Royal Niger Company, that was used for this, you know, went up and down Niger taking produce and all of that. Hey, come to think of it, the Niger divides the country. So why don't we call it Nigeria? The area around the Niger. Bingo. God moving in the affairs of men. They gave it a name so that nobody could miss it in the Bible. Give the Lord a clap offering. So we would not miss it. The land which the rivers divide. Only Nigeria. All other nations, they have rivers, but the rivers don't divide them. Only Nigeria is split. Even today, we still talk about the north and the south. What splits us? The river. I got a prophetic word. All those who think they can spoil Nigeria or split the country or let one part dominate the other. You are playing with God. Nigeria is not the figment of man's imagination. It's a nation of prophetic destiny, ordained by God himself through men that he used. Then he speaks about a nation. He says they are strong, they are tall, they are smooth of skin, and they are powerful. He's not talking physical. He's talking about the church. Smooth of skin. A glorious church. Not having spot or blemish or wrinkle. Where are spots? Where are blemishes? Where are wrinkles? On the skin. Isaiah, writing by prophetic inspiration, began to describe the church in Nigeria, its characteristics spiritually. So he says, it's tall, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then it has smooth skin, no spot, no blemish, no wrinkle. So he began to talk about the prophetic destiny of the perfect Zion church in Nigeria, and he coded it in symbolic spiritual language. But because now we have the Holy Spirit and we have revelation, we now know it's Nigeria he's talking about. We now know it's the church, Zion in Nigeria he's talking about. Hallelujah. Tall, smooth of skin. This is, they are powerful from their beginning. That's that mighty church you see in Joel. Says nothing can stand before them, treading down. Glory be to God. He's not talking about a military, physical nation that is conquering everybody around. He's talking about the church, Zion in Nigeria, without any ambiguity. Verse 7. In that time. Oh, I didn't hear you. Oh, I didn't hear you. I told your neighbor, which time? You know, the Bible, that's why you need prophetic and apostolic anointed teachers who have anointing and revelation knowledge. There are so many things inside the Bible that just stand alone in that time. Which time? That's why it says, here little, there little. Which time? In that time. It's prophetic. A present will be brought to the Lord of hosts. Watch this. From a people. Those same people. Tall and smooth of skin. Why would God start talking about the skin? He's trying to show you I'm talking about a certain set of people. Then Paul picks it by revelation. In Ephesians, and says he's coming for a glorious church. Why would he go and use skin? He could have used other metaphors. Without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle. He's talking about the church. So he said, a present will be brought to the Lord of hosts. I didn't hear you. From a people, tall and smooth of skin. A people terrible from their beginning onward. Have you heard about the great and the terrible day of the Lord? Go and check it in the book of Joel. It describes that army as terrible. It doesn't mean terrible in terms of being oppressive and all of that. It's terrible to the enemies of God. Terrible to the enemies of Zion. From their beginning, a nation. You know what the Bible calls the church? A holy nation. A royal priesthood. You know, we are seeing something here. A nation inside a nation. Zion in Nigeria. You got the Nigerian nation, which is the physical, political, geopolitical nation. But inside the Nigerian nation, you have another nation. A nation tall, smooth of skin, powerful. Don't mess with them. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. A nation powerful. He's talking about the church. Treading down. Well, treading down means they will put down all opposition. Remember what David said? He said, you will tread my enemies under my feet. He told Joshua, he said, put your feet on the neck of your enemies. Put your feet on them. It's symbolic language. But the Holy Spirit is telling us that this church, this Zion church in Nigeria, will overcome the enemies of God. And that's why this fast is so important, because it's a fast of Purim, a fast of vengeance. That's exactly what they did with Haman and his sons and all the other people who tried to attack the Jews. They were able to overcome them. They tread them down. Glory be to God. Whose land the rivers divide? See how he switches from physical, spiritual to physical. Inside one verse, you have a part of it that is symbolic, that is spiritual. Then you have a part of it that is literal and physical, talking about Nigeria, the nation who the rivers divide. Then he now zeroes in and gives you the name of the people. To the name of the Lord of hosts, to what? Mount Zion. What's Mount Zion doing in beyond the rivers of Ethiopia? Hey, Zion is in Israel. He's talking spiritually. That there is a Zion church. Everybody say Zion in Nigeria. There is a Zion church. God was seeing ahead. The Bible says, like Paul would say so many times, says the scripture seeing. The law, it contains shadows of things to come. So the God seeing, he now gave it the name Zion. Mount Zion. But where? Beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. So that's how we know it is Zion in Nigeria. Now, thank you, Lord Jesus. This Zion church in Nigeria has a prophetic destiny to fulfill. And you see more of it in Zephaniah. Let's quickly go to Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3. And let's look at verse 10. You see the same thing again. The Bible says, in the month of 12, 3, let every word be established. So that you won't think it's a mistake. And you will not think that it's just a one-off interpretation. God, he repeats the same thing he said in Isaiah. This is Zephaniah. Zephaniah lived hundreds of years after Isaiah. The same Holy Spirit. He now says, from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshippers. How many people are worshippers here? Turn to your neighbor and say, I just saw your name in the Bible. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible actually says so. It says the things that are written of you in this book, this written of you. How many people are worshippers here? From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, in the land the rivers divide. Turn to your neighbor and say, I just read about you in the Bible. It of you it is written in the volume of the book. Oh, glory to God. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. It's exciting to see yourself inside the Bible. He used worshippers in King James. Here he used suppliants. And some people say supplication is of the devil. Can you see how far off they are? This same suppliant, the word suppliant means intercessors who are praying with supplication. It is the same thought Paul picks by the same Holy Spirit, say praying always with all prayer and supplication. So God knew that in that time there will be a Zion church inside Nigeria that will be praying with supplication. Even now, I'm about to blow your mind. Hallelujah. He now gives her a name. He calls the daughter of my dispersed. They shall bring my offering. He's saying exactly what Isaiah said. Isaiah said they will bring a present from those people. He said these people will bring an offering. It's not an offering. This is not money now. God doesn't need your money. Praise the Lord. He's going to bring an offering of worship, of prayer, and of people. A tithe, a Levite company that will be presented to the Lord from these people.
from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. And I'm looking at some of them now. Glory be to God. Ah, glory to God. Hallelujah. They shall bring mine offering. Because of time, I'm not going to go into all the details. But I want you to know, let me just pick one or two verses. This is talking about this church, this Zion, this daughter of my dispersed in Nigeria. Look at verse 14. Sing! That's why Pastor Andrew picked it this. Sing, O Zion, sing, though in a strange land, the song of the Lord redeemed. That's what the Bible says we should do. At this time, say, sing. Everybody say, sing. Sing. That's what the choir did when I was giving an announcement about the Feast of Purim. And they began to sing that our shame and our something is ending. Sing. Sing. Sing, O daughter of Zion. So you don't mistake it. Call the daughter of my dispersed here because you're daughter of Zion. O Israel, shout, O Israel. Say this, Israel. No. Remember, yes, it's Israel, but remember that we are the seed of Abraham through Jesus Christ. So we are the Israel of God. It's not, Israel cannot be beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. It does not make any sense, physically. Spiritual. It's talking to us. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout. I didn't hear anybody shout. Hallelujah. Shout, O Israel. Be glad. I didn't hear you. And rejoice with half your heart. Daughter of Jerusalem. He's talking to us. Hallelujah. Look at verse 15. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has what? What did God do to Haman? What did you do with this fast? You're fulfilling prophetic scripture without knowing it. The Lord has taken away thy judgments. He has cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord. See, our king is not the one in Abuja. Those are political leaders. They have their place. But our king is in Zion. His name is Jesus. Incidentally, he has another title. His name is King of Kings. So whatever king you have in Abuja or Washington or in London or in, wherever, they all have a boss. He is King of Kings. Ah, mommy's telling me I have to read this thing to the end. Oh, King of Kings. King of Kings. So, who has the final say? Jehovah is the final. The final say is not in Abuja. The final say is not in the Executive Council. The final say is not in Washington. The final say is not with Vladimir Putin, in spite of his new weapons. Are you following? Jehovah has the final say. You know why? He is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. And if you doubt it, if you doubt that he has the final say, ask a fellow called Haman. Haman will be one of the best evangelists in hell right now. He'll be the one tell you, don't go against the Jews. Their God always has the final. Haman thought he had the final say. But overnight, through the prayers and the fasting of an Esther company, they changed the word of the king. Hallelujah. Sarah did not have the final say. Esther didn't have the final say. Mordecai did not have the final say. Jehovah, 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 Jehovah has the final say.
fasting and praying is bringing?
Is bringing the final say.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in Nigeria as it is written in the Bible in heaven.
Amen.
I don't know if I'm helping anybody here. I can't even speak in English. I am, but you know, I want to go to Solomon Rodo friends. Because it's by the Holy Ghost. The thing is just bubbling. Hallelujah. This is a because of diversities of operations. What you are seeing is a higher operation of tongues and interpretation. See, I prayed in my prayer closet 3-4 a.m. this morning. Everything I prayed, now I'm not interpreting it. So all of my most 99% of my preaching is prophetic. It doesn't come from my mind. That's why I keep speaking in tongues. I go in, draw some more out, push it out. Nekata frenengas ol fred. Ha ha ha. Neo shele frenengas. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 15, and the Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy, Haman, the king of Israel. The Lord is where? In your midst. Glory be to God. King James, I'm looking at New King James. You shall see disaster no more. No more civil war in Nigeria. No more civil war in Nigeria. Jehovah has the final say.
How did the prophet know that there was a disaster before?
Look at the language. You shall see disaster no more. It means you've seen disaster before. How did he know?
The God who makes heaven and earth, who knew what he was doing when he gave birth to Nigeria, he knew that an enemy will come to try and destroy Nigeria in a bloody civil war of 1967. But the God of heaven, who looks over his word to perform it, kept this nation together as one. There is a brother here, my brother Okorie. He was a young boy, but he was in the war. I remember one day I went to his house and we were talking about it. Another friend of mine who grew up in the war, he said, Pastor, it was God who saved us. He said, we were just little children. He said, we used to play with hand grenade. I don't even know what hand grenade is. But look at Okorie here. Give the Lord a clap offering. God preserved his life. Gave him a wonderful life. Because he had a prophetic destiny to fulfill. You didn't come to Ibadan by accident. You did not come to Scripture Pastor by accident. You came to fulfill. You shall see disaster no more. It shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion. Let not your hands be weak. Turn to your neighbor and say, I just heard from heaven. God just told me, do not fear. And don't let your hands be weak during this time of fasting. He's talking to us. This is online. The Holy Ghost talking. Let not your hand be weak. But I'm not done yet. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save Nigeria. Give the Lord another clap offering. Hallelujah. Look at the prophetic language
that the prophet is using. He's seeing something ahead of time, but he's still talking futuristically. So he's telling you in that time that you are in Nigeria, Zion in Nigeria. Fear not. Don't let your hand be weak. The Lord your God, who is in the midst of you, he is mighty and he's going to save you. Give the Lord a clap offering. I just got another tweet. Glory be to God. From all, he's going to save you from the machinations of Haman and all his gang. How many know that Haman had 10 sons? And a lot of accomplices inside the kingdom. You know what Haman did? In Yoruba, we say, Olowuse. Those of you who don't know what that means. When unregenerate and wicked men, when they want to find out about the future and what to do, they will go to a witch doctor. The witch doctor will cast incantations. And then he will now give them a day or a time that is going to be spiritually favorable for them to do what they want to do. Money, money, money. In our language, that means they can see. Well, we got better seers on this side. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We see with the eyes of the Spirit, for the eyes of our understanding are constantly being enlightened. Our vision, the kind of vision we have, no Babalawo even has anything that's even close to it. Not even close. So this guy went to meet some silly guys and they did some vision and they got a day for him. But the God of Israel, who sees the end from the beginning, he sees beyond the seer. Hallelujah. He completely scattered all their plans and saved Israel. So shall it be, so it is today. Let them gather, they will fall. Amen. They can talk, they can murmur, and they can speak. Amen. But it will not stand. Amen. I hope they are listening where they should be listening. Glory be to God. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. Save you from Haman and all his. He will rejoice over you with gladness. That's what we're doing this morning, all our praises and worship. He will quiet over you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. I heard somebody comment on this. You know, it just came to me by the Spirit. He said, of all the religions in the world, it is only in Christianity where they sing. All the others chant. They don't sing. Go and check it out. They don't sing. They chant. Christianity are sings. Because they chant, they have tribal songs where they sing, and you know, but I'm talking about in their worship. They don't have worship. They just chant. They mutter. It is only our God that gives the liberty to sing. Give him a clap offering, somebody. What a great God. Not only will you sing, he too will sing. We sing and he sings. We sing and then he sings through us. What do you think you're doing when you are singing in the Spirit? Who is singing? But this utterance is given by the Holy Ghost. So we're singing and he's singing. He will sing over thee. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Wow! Am I helping anybody here? Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. He says, and the Lord your God in the midst, he will rejoice for you with singing. And I will gather those who are sorrow and who are among you. And at that time, I will deal with all those who afflict you. I will bring you back. I will give you fame and praise. Now, this is important. Verse 20, and then I'm going to jump to Song of Solomon. He says, for I will give you
fame and praise among all the peoples of the earth. At that time, I will bring you back. There's a reference to this to Israel. There's a reference because the Bible is multiple, manifold wisdom of God. But this is to us here. I will give you fame and praise when I return your captives before your eyes. If you look at this in the King James, it talks about captivity. Go to King James. I like this. I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. Why this? The history of the black man has been one of captivity. Because of the sin of Ham, Canaan, who is a descendant of Ham, his grandfather Noah cursed him and said, you will be a servant captivity. You will be a servant to Shem and you will be a servant to Japheth. Go anywhere on the globe today. Anywhere. Whether it's Brixton in England, Harlem in New York, wherever else, where you have black people and they congregate. Those are the areas you don't want to visit. The south side of Chicago, you don't want to go there. Captivity, rape, murder, armed robbery, drugs. Somebody said, well, it's the white man that put us there. True, but not the whole truth. It's an innate curse that only Jesus Christ can break. And that's why you see it replicated. You know, I'm a student of history to some degree, you know, and I remember studying the slave trade when I was in secondary school, you know. The white man came and sold us. How did the white man get us? Come on, let's be honest here, folks. How did he get us? Can a white man just walk? Could he have just walked into Africa and started carrying people? No way! It was the African kings who captured. We were having slaves before the white man came. Yes. Let's tell the truth to ourselves. We were having slaves before the white man came. And then when they came and they gave us mirror and gunpowder and gin, and cigarettes and snuff, we said, take these 20 slaves. If we didn't sell them, they couldn't sell us. Tiku ile obakpani. I even got that one. I was afraid to say it first. But if we didn't sell ourselves, there is no way they could have sold us. Don't put some of the blame is on them, but don't put all the blame on the white man. And I want to ask, how many white men are in the Senate in Abuja right now? It's just a question. How many white men have we had as our rulers since 1960? How many white men stole and plundered our treasury? How many white men have killed their own people by embezzling funds that were meant for schools and hospitals? That my wife was weeping the other day. The schools around us there, they can't even have classroom. The children are having physics lesson under the tree. Which white man stole that money? Which white man was in Zimbabwe that destroyed the economy? God zoomed him out. I got a word. Like he will zoom out anybody else, even in Nigeria, that does not conform to the will of God. Give the Lord a clap offering. We are seeing a trend in Africa showing the influence of the Spirit of God that is working. Zimbabwe, Mugabe was removed without a shot. South Africa, Zuma was removed without a shot. Nigeria, those God wants to remove will be removed without a shot. Give the Lord a clap offering. There is a move, a wind of the Spirit that nobody can stop. It's already started, it's gaining momentum. And you're a part of that momentum in this fasting and prayer. Oh, Kashele Mengra Dofrines. Tell me to Song of Solomon. I will never forget when I first did. I didn't believe it was in the Bible. When I first, this was about 20 years ago, when I first stumbled on these scriptures, I said, ha, you mean the Bible has all of this and nobody ever preached it? See, God knew the injustice that would have been done to the black race over the millennia in the Old Testament and then also in the New Testament. To redress that, God zoned. Zone didn't start with PDP. God zoned the first of the first fruits of the Zion Church in Africa and then in that nation beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. And he put it in his word in an unmistakable fashion. So even if you want to misinterpret it, you cannot misinterpret it. And we're living in a time of the fulfillment of these prophetic scriptures. Incidentally, you may not know this. That was why I was born. Thank you, Pastor Gregor. You just came. That was why my wife... You know, my wife, when I met my wife, she had a prophetic scripture from Isaiah 49. That God knew from us. And God had gave me that. When I was in Imperial College, God gave me Isaiah 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49. So when I met her, she said, I just laughed. I said, yeah, we're on the same wavelength. But it's not just two of us. It's all of us. Before you were conceived in your mother's womb, God knew you. Before your father and your mother knew each other, for you are walking in the loins of your father, just like Levi paid tithes to Melchizedek when he was still in the loins of Abraham. God already knew his name. Nothing takes God by surprise. You are not an accident. Before your father met your mother, God knew you. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, watch this, I knew you. And I ordained you to be born beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, in the nation where the rivers divide, to be conformed to the image of Jesus, to fulfill my prophetic word at this time. It's a word for every Nigerian that is born in this generation. If you are born anywhere from 1900 to now, it applies to you. Now they're already old. No, in this generation, you are allowed to live to 120. And even beyond, with the glory that is coming, it will carry you beyond any age. For your youth will be renewed like the eagles. You know why? God zoned it around the restoration of the nation of Israel. 1948 is mid-century. So anything beyond 1900 and after 1950, anybody in that generation fits into this. This generation will not pass until all these things be fulfilled. You are the 42nd prophetic end time last generation. You need to push it up to 150. Push it. Anybody can push it. There is no limit. God said with long life. He didn't say with 120 years. He didn't say with 100 years. He said with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I threw that out. Now, look at Song of Solomon. Am I helping anybody here? Hallelujah. Just to give a preface, the Song of Solomon is a prophetic poem that speaks about the relationship between Christ and the church, even though literally Solomon was writing about his wife, a Shunammite and all of that. That's the physical. That's why the Bible is a symbolic spiritual book. So, even Baptists, even out-of-court people, we all agree that the Song of Solomon is a prophetic poem about Christ and the church. There's no controversy on that in the church. Now, look at what it says. Draw me away. Verse 4, because of time. Draw me away. It says, nobody can come to me except the Father draw him. He's talking about the Holy Ghost. We will run after you. It is not of him that runneth, nor of him that willeth, but of God that showeth mercy. They will run and not be weary. They will walk. He's talking about us. May God open our eyes to understand the Bible. The King has brought me into his chambers. What did you just sing this afternoon? Into his chambers, be free, Holy Spirit. He has brought me into his chambers. We will rejoice. We will be glad. I didn't hear you. I'm reading from New King James. I'm doing it deliberately. We will be glad and rejoice in you. We will remember your love more than wine. Rightly do they love you. Now, watch what he says. Why will God put this inside the Bible? I am dark. Let's read in King James. He says black. Darky, what is happening to me? I am black, but comely. Why would God put this inside the Bible? He's speaking to black men. In the ages, in the time to come of the coming of Christ, that I didn't forget you. Yes, your great, 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 great grandfather Ham misbehaved. And his father, in his anger, cursed him. And he has suffered that captivity all of these centuries. But now I am coming to visit you. And I will turn that captivity. So, when he's describing the bride of Christ, he uses black. Give the Lord a clap offering. I am black, but comely. O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar and as the cuttings of Solomon. Next verse. I gotta go. Look not upon me. No, don't despise me. Don't look down. And you know that's what they're doing? Even the church today, if they hear you are from Nigeria or Africa, they look down on us. They think you have come to beg them for money. Or you've come to beg them for in your usual way. But God says, don't look down on me. Look not upon me. Because I am black. Because the only reason why I am black, because the sun has looked. So you don't make any mistake about it. Do you know why you are a black man? I don't know if you understand. There is a pigment, there's something inside your skin. What do you call it? Melanin. It is supposed to protect you from ultraviolet waves. So when the people migrated south, after the dispersion of the flood of Noah, he had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem moved eastward. Japheth moved northward. That's where we get the Europeans from. And Ham moved downward. And because God didn't want the sun to finish you, he put melanin there to protect you. That's why you're black. But you're comely. Give the Lord a clap offering. It has nothing to do with any kind of inferiority. It's simply divine protection. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. I am because the sun has turned me. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards. But my own vineyard have I not kept. But the day has come when we'll keep our own vineyard. It's enough keeping other people's vineyard. We're going to keep our own now. Ah, I gotta close. I could go on. You know, let me tell you something. That's why Nigeria is so important. That's why Nigeria is so strategic. They tell me, and you know, I schooled in England. You know, I schooled in Imperial College. My two daughters, all my children really, they're all schooled in England and all that. There's something about Nigerians. Even the whites, all the people acknowledge it. They are different from the other Africans. You can't put them down. It doesn't matter where you go. New York, London, Germany, Iceland. You will find my people there. You will find our people there. And they are not just there. They are always there prospering. Give the Lord a clap offering. There's something. It is God. It's the influence of the Spirit of God. And you find this. You know, this is a true statistic I'm about to give you. Nigerians are the most educated people race in America. More than Chinese. Give the Lord a clap. More than Indian. It's not because of us. It's because of the purpose of God. And God watching over his word to perform. There is nowhere you will go. You will find one Emeka. Or you will find one Usman. Or you will find one Kule. There is a joke. I believe it's true. Not just a joke. When Yar'Adua was sick, the late president, they flew him over to Germany for specialist treatment. They couldn't get in Nigeria. So when they got there, you know, and they registered him and everything, they said the head of the whole unit was going to come and see him. Lo and behold, the man's name was Kule. In Nigeria and in Germany, he was superior to all the other Germans. He was the... So the thing that you are looking for in Sokoto was already in your Sokoto. Had they put the healthcare in Nigeria properly, Kule would have treated him in Nigeria without having to fly him to Germany. Well, okay. May we not despise what we have. See, they stay in Nigeria, they just waste all the time going to Obadam to fetch water. They spend all the time going to NEPA office to go and complain about light going. That same Kule, that same Emeka, that same Usman, if you take him to America and you take him something, he will become Okonjo-Iweala. Like my friend Aki Adesina, who is now the chairman of the head of the African Development Bank. He stayed in Nigeria, but he went to America. You know, the next thing they gave him the highest honor in his university. Even President Trump wrote him a congratulatory letter. I saw it. But if you have stayed in Nigeria, but it's changing. You know why? Zion is changing Nigeria. That is the crux of this message. It is only Zion that can change Nigeria. God does not love Nigeria because of Nigeria. God loves Nigeria because of Zion in Nigeria. I got it. God help me. Hallelujah. I don't know if I'm inspiring anybody here. So to show his justification to all races, God zoned the Zion church to black people beyond the race of Israel. Now, a word of warning. It is not exclusive to black people. Never will be. Never will be. Because the Bible says that this gospel does not know male or female. It does not know black or white. It does not know Greek or Jew. Everybody. But if you notice, this is how God always moves. In the first century, the pioneers of the move of God were all Jews. Everybody. There was nobody on the day of Pentecost that was a Gentile. Not one. The spearhead was Jewish. In the reformation of the church, 1,500 years later in Germany, a German monk called Martin Luther, rose up and started the Protestant movement and what is known in history as the Reformation after the Dark Ages. Every spearheader in that move was European. Sons of Japheth, when will it be Ham's turn? Watch this. Revelation knowledge. 3 days of the church. First day, spearheader Shem. Second day, spearheader Japheth. Third day, spearheader Ham. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. That's why you were born. That's why you're here. Stop wasting your time with sin. Don't sign away your prophetic destiny. There are millions who will wish they were you. Stop regretting you were born in Africa. Stop regretting that you are in Nigeria. That's why you can see now, even the biggest churches in Europe are being pastored by Nigerians. You go to England, you go to London, the people who have the greatest spiritual influence are Nigerians. I didn't say the only people, I said the greatest. The biggest churches, even though I don't agree with everything that they do, but you see, God is doing a sign. I got to close. I notice you're not hot anymore. Everybody's enjoying the message. You see, when the word of God, when the anointing comes, it even destroys whatever else. It breaks the yoke, doesn't it? Hallelujah. So, I got to move fast. We're going to look at two scriptures and close. One, Zion in Nigeria, her destiny is to change Nigeria. Nigeria is one of the greatest paradoxes of our generation. There has not been a nation so endowed like Nigeria. Human resources, material resources, physical resources, food. Nigeria can feed the whole world. I didn't say Africa. The potential is there. Beautiful weather. You don't have to do anything. Just throw it in your backyard. It will grow. Give the Lord a clap offering. Oh, Nemashele Mengara. I just got another text. It's just proving what God is doing for Nigeria. He said, my eyes will always be upon that land. It's in the book of Deuteronomy. He says, the rain will come upon it this season. It will bring forth. That is the truth about Nigeria. Not because of Nigeria, but because of Zion that God has sown to Nigeria. So our destiny now is to change the country. We spoke about this a little bit on Wednesday when we talk about, how do you change a nation? By changing the people, influence the people around you and all of that. But the end result is what you see in Psalm 144. Give it to me. Verse 10. Psalm 144. This is Zion's mission to Nigeria. But it doesn't stop there, because we're going to go throughout the whole world, every tribe, tongue, and kindred. But it's going to start here. It is he... jump to verse 11 and verse 12, because of time.
Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, like Haman and Saul and wasn't that silly fellow, Ahab and others. You know, we won't go into all of that. Whose mouth speaketh vanity? So the devil is using what their mouth is saying to spoil the nation. Don't ever forget, words are spiritual. He says, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the words of the wicked. That's why anytime they speak, we must speak back. Yes. Not necessarily on the pages of the newspaper, but when they murmur and mutter and speak, we also must speak to counteract what they have said. Because power passes power. Very important. That's why it's so important when we pray here, we make prophetic declarations. You see, mommy and some of the intercessors come and they make prophetic to the north, the south, the east. What are they doing? They are releasing so that by the blessing of the upright, the nation will be exalted. A lot of the mess we are seeing is because of what has come out of the mouths of our politicians and some of the wicked people in this country. And they are not many. Most of Nigerians are good people. All they want is a decent living. All they want, yes, whether it's a Hausa man, a Kanuri, a Calabar man, an Igbo man, a Yoruba man, they all want something. Give them three things: food, education, good health care. They will say, Oga, you have tried. Leave the rest to us. The Delta. If they judge us, that's all they're asking for. And there is more than enough in Nigeria for every child to have good quality education, good quality health care, and food that we have to export. It will be so much, we will say, go and export it. Food should be the cheapest thing in Nigeria, and it will be. Amen. Prophetic destiny. Whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is the right hand of falsehood. Verse 12. Glory be to God. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. That our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. Verse 13. That our garners may be full. All the storehouses are full of food. Affording all manner of store. That our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets. That our oxen may be strong to labor. Great industrial capacity. Production of goods and services. That there be no breaking in. Don't your neighbor say, the day is coming. Let's say Jesus is with you. The hour is coming. And now is when there will be no more armed robbery in Nigeria. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering. Somebody just said in their heart, if heaven were to open, could these things be so? Maybe the person is watching, I don't know. I'm not going to say what the prophet said to that person to you, because I'm in the New Testament. You know, never limit God. The Bible is true. With God, nothing is impossible. We have records in church history where revival hit towns under the ministry of Charles Finney in the Welsh Revival in Wales at the turn of the century, 1904. Evan Roberts, not everybody went to church and became born again. But there was such an envelope of the influence of the Holy Ghost upon the land that all the beer parlors closed up. All the brothels closed up. They even recorded, because I read it on the internet, that they sold out all the Bibles in the bookshop. You couldn't find a Bible to buy. Because people rushed the bookshops to go and buy their Bibles. If God could do it in a city, why can't he do it in a nation? He won't
won't be everybody who will become a Christian, but there will be such an influence of the Spirit of God. I just got another fax. I just got another text. He said, why would they steal anyway? What makes them steal? What makes people steal? You know, the Bible says, a thief, if he be hungry, he be lokpa. The Yoruba people have a saying that if you take hunger away from poverty, then you have taken, you have completely eradicated poverty. When there is so much food in the land and everybody is eating, there will be no breaking in. Give the Lord a clap offering. Or going out, there shall be no complaining in our streets. This is Zion's mission to Nigeria. It won't only be Nigeria, it will also spread to other nations. Just like the birth of the church did not stay among the Jews. You know, I listened to something recently and I said, I never saw that, you know. You know, we always say that the first Gentiles that entered the kingdom were house of Cornelius. It's not true. It's the Ethiopian. It was the Ethiopian. He got it before Cornelius. God planted that seed as a witness. Say, I've not forgotten you people. No wonder he says I'm black and comely. God never forgets. God is a good God. Let's close. Last scripture. We've done with this one now. You know, it was the last. I think this is the last one. This is the last scripture in Psalm 144. You know, so this is our mission. This is why God put Zion in Nigeria, so that God will use Zion to bless Nigeria. And this, the last verse, thank you. Look at it. Happy! Thank you, honey. Happy! I didn't hear you all. Is that people that is in such a case? Yeah, happy is that. Notice not Israel. This is not Israel. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. This is Zion in Nigeria. And they will say, God is our God. And you know what? There's an index that tells us Nigerians are the happiest people on the earth. Even in spite of all our problems. You know, somebody has said this. I think it was my wife who was commenting recently. If half the things that happen in Nigeria happened in any other country, the whole place would have scattered. There is a divine hand on this country. Now, you know how people, you know, even the poor people, they're saying, oh God, just leave him, just leave him. My child has to go to school. I have to go and struggle and find another way. You know, you don't, like, Nigerians don't believe in revolution and killing and all those kind of things. I mean, you know, they are so resilient. It's not natural, it's supernatural. It's God who put it there. That it may be well with our land. What a great country. I'm so proud to be a Nigerian. Give the Lord a clap offering. A unique set of people. None like us in all the earth. Sound and 10. How is this going to take place? Zion in Nigeria. How is Zion going to effect this? Psalm 110. Start from verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord. Hey, Karadao. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jehovah said to Adonai. The father said to the son, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies. Don't you ever say, like Haman, like Saul, like Ahab, thy footstool. He's talking to us. Verse 2. The Lord shall shred the rod of thy strength out of God. Of course, it's out of God, but out of God through Zion. What is she going to do? Rule thou where? In the midst of thine enemy. Rule over Haman. Rule over Ahab. Rule over Saul. Whoever it is that is not allowing the will of God to be done for Nigeria, rule over them. And that's what you're doing spiritually through fasting and prayer. Incidentally, in the case of both cases in the Bible, where governments were put under the dominion of God, it was done through God's people fasting and prayer. I remember that Daniel prayed for 21 days and changed everything. What did Esther do? Fasting and prayer and changed everything. What are you doing now? Fasting and prayer, and you will change everything. Give the Lord a clap offering. Verse 3. I don't know if I'm helping anybody. Thy people, thy people, thy people, thy people, thy people, thy people. Don't your neighbor say, whose people, know? Who? Ask your neighbor, do you know who's, honey, whose people?
God's people.
Zion. 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 Those are the people he's talking about. Who? He said, the rod of strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of the enemies. Then the next verse says, thy people, which people? The people of Zion. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew. This is not a very good translation. Go to New International. Good. Hallelujah. Give me the Amplified. Give me the Amplified. Hallelujah. Yes, this is better. Your people will offer themselves willingly in the day of thy power. What happened during this fast? Free offering. It wasn't a compulsory fast, but the people offered themselves willingly. We are fulfilling. Told your neighbor, I just saw you again in the Bible. This is fulfilling prophetic destiny. It is written of you in the volume of the book. I don't know if I'm helping anybody. Thy people will offer themselves willingly in the day of thy power, in the beauty of holiness, in holy array, out of the womb of the morning. To you will spring forth your what? Young men. Even the little life of children. Nobody told them to do it. They came to meet mommy of their own free thy youth. 113 of them said, we will fast and we will pray. Give the Lord a clap offering. We just saw life force in the Bible. That's how it is. I'm telling you. That's how you see yourself inside the Bible. You're inside the Bible. Thy youth, your young men. Next verse. The Lord has sworn. Hallelujah. Go back to King James. King James is what I'm used to. If I need all these other ones, I'll come back to them. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Another message for another day. We are still coming back to you. Verse 5. Let's keep reading. The Lord. He's telling you how he's going to rule in the midst of his enemies. He's now giving you detail of how Zion will change Nigeria and the nations of the world. The Lord shall, at thy right hand, shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. Ask Abacha. The guy thought Nigeria was his personal property. He was going to transform himself to a civilian government, a civilian president. They were already advertising on television who the cap fit. How many people remember? Some of you were not born in 1998. Some of you are just babies. Who the cap fit? God said, your head is not the right shape. And watch it. He zoomed it out without a shot. That God is still alive. And he's still ruling through Zion. Next verse. I'm just about done. And he shall judge among the heathen. This is beyond Nigeria now, even the other nations. He shall fill this, why they're going to hate the church. You know, the places with dead bodies, he shall wound the heads over. Thank God, not all men. You see, the day is coming, the hour is coming now, is where they're going to be afraid of the church. But some hard-hearted, stubborn pharaohs would try and bring themselves again against the power of God.
So he says he will wound the head over many countries. Not every country. There'll be other people who say, no, they'll submit. Then they'll say, no, I won't agree. So wound. And by the time you do three or four examples, you find that everybody, rather than they shall be afraid of thee.
Amen.
This is destiny of Zion. We're not going to rule politically. Who is stronger, the king or the kingmaker? The kingmaker. The kingmaker. We'll be too busy praying. That's not to say we won't be involved. You know, Christians can be involved and all that, but you know, we decide what happens on our knees. And he shall wound the head over many countries. Hallelujah. Next verse. I think it's just about done now. He shall drink of the brook in the way, and therefore shall he lift up the head. Let's stand to our feet. So we've seen Zion in Nigeria. God planted. I wanted to say something, then the Holy Ghost said, no, you got the order wrong. I was going to say God planted the Zion church in Nigeria. And God said, I created Nigeria for Zion. Thank you, Pastor Wega. You took the words out of my mouth. It was a custom made nation. You know when you go and order a car, then you say, I want leather seats. It's custom specification. There was no Nigeria before. It was put together by God. Hallelujah. According to a design that had been revealed to the prophets thousands of years before there was a Nigeria. Remember Mungo Park? He went to go and get the root of the Niger and took it from Fuchajalon. Did I get it? And came right down and all of that. God said, that's the river that's going to divide. So this one is for the British. To the left, French, you can have it. To the right, French, you can have it. But this one is British. And I'm Malcolm. So it was not he planted Zion in Nigeria. He created Nigeria for Zion. And then in the 19, when our parents were born, my mother, for example, born in a Muslim home, was sent to a Christian school. Why? The Christian missionary, my school, CMS, Nigeria. And brought education, and then brought the missionaries, and brought the Bible. Then in the 1920s, 1930s, Babalola and others, the prophetic ministry, the evangelists, the CAC, swept Yoruba land. There is no village that you will go to where you will not find a CAC church, and you will not find an Anglican church. Hardly. Or Methodist or something. Same thing in the East. God began to sow the seeds because the place was made for Zion. And in the 1970s, the wind of the Spirit blew. Immediately after the Civil War, the SU movement started. And we started getting the secondary schools. My wife is a product. She was in St. Anne's, in Form 2. When Brother Ibeneme went to St. Anne's to preach to them, and got born again. But you know, we didn't have knowledge. Backslid for some years. Then God threw a stone at her. Bam! Got her attention. Same thing with me. The same thing with me. It's a plan. It's a design. Do you think you're an accident? God was born again. I said, but this born again is not going to get the job done. After some years, raise up S.G. Elton. Hallelujah. So go and tell them about the Holy Ghost. Pray. Brother Emiko, I was with them yesterday. Brother Yemi Ayodele, Ibeneme, Emekanwaka, and others like that, all over the campuses. University of Ibadan, University of Ife, you know, Ahmadu Bello University, Onsuka, everywhere. Young men, started getting filled with the Holy Ghost and started speaking in tongues so that Nigeria will fulfill her prophetic destiny. See where we are today. We're a product of God's design. Nigeria was designed for Zion. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. Everybody, just stand and pray. The fast continues. Tell your neighbor, say the fast continues. Now I know why I'm fasting. Hence this prophetic message. Now I know why I'm fasting. I'm not just fasting to suffer. I'm fasting to fulfill a destiny. I'm fasting like Esther fasted. Everybody open your mouth. Say, I'm fasting like Esther fasted. To change Persia from the hand of Haman. I'm fasting like Daniel fasted. To change Babylon from the hand of Belteshazzar. I am fasting now to change Nigeria into her prophetic destiny. Give the Lord a clap offering. That's why I'm fasting. Touch your heart, raise one hand. We're going to close. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. We're just going to pray and close because of time. Just say, Father, I confess our sins. I confess our sins of unbelief, of prayerlessness, of staggering at the promise of God through unbelief. Have mercy, God. Forgive us. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness by the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the prophetic word I have heard this afternoon about Zion in Nigeria. That indeed, you made Nigeria for Zion to fulfill her prophetic destiny as the perfect church from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, that is black but comely, that will spearhead this end time move. I thank you for considering me worthy to be born into this nation at such a time as this. Oh God, have mercy on me. Help me to fulfill this great prophetic destiny. Help me open my eyes so I will see and I will fulfill my prophetic destiny hidden in the written word, some of which have been revealed to me and shown to me this afternoon. Help me so that my hand will not be slack in battle, but I will not be weak. I will run, I will not be weary. I will walk and I will not faint. Oh God, I will not give rest unto my eyes until I see the mission of Zion accomplished in Nigeria. In Jesus' name, amen. Nekatala mashakato frides. Lipri nekatu fridengas. Zefrigil. Lombrigitos kefrides. Nirana shakito frides. Le ramashale le prinito freneste caras nera tosca fridio l'ombre des nengardolo motolo molto fresh sala frega cromatolo molto fresh lembra da tu fridi che tu lo mangardo tolo molto fridis je fris no finis nengars tu fridis l'ombre des zele caras tu fridis je che tu fresh l'ombre des no finis nik toros tolo mosho tu fridis no finis nengardalas tolomos se fridis zo fridis. In Jesus' name. Join hands with somebody. The Lord bless you and keep you. I didn't hear you. I said, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. I said, the Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ. So we impart unto you the blessings of Enoch, the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul,
and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn over and say, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. In Jesus' name, amen.